On today's gospel, we have one of Jesus' most famous parables, the parable of the sower. It's probably familiar to us. A person is scattering seed, and some of the seeds land on the path, and some land in the rocks and among thorns. None of those end up growing or producing fruit. But then the seed that falls in good soil does produce abundant fruit. So one of the things that always strikes me about this passage is how bad of a job this guy is doing. Sowing the seed, he's getting it all over the place. He's wasting it. It's very strange because no farmer is like this. If I were planting corn or beans for my dad and I was wasting this much seed, very soon I would have a different job to do. So I think the first thing we notice about this passage is how strange it is. How there's seed going all over the place and the sower seems wasteful, or at least foolishly generous perhaps with the seed. But that seems to be the first point that Jesus is making, that the sower is God, and that God lavishes his grace upon each one of us, and not just the ones who are here in church this morning, the ones who stayed home this morning, and those who don't know Jesus at all, the non-Christians throughout the world. God lavishes his grace upon everybody, knowing quite well that many, perhaps most, will not respond to his gift. Many, perhaps most, will not mature and grow in their life in Christ. Their lives will not be fruitful in the way God is wanting. Yet, God gives anyway. He gives, he spreads the seed of his word, and he waits and watches to see what happens, if his gift of self that he gives to us will take root and grow and bear abundant fruit. So I don't know about you, but I really want to be rich soil. I really want to be and to have the heart that will be able to receive the gift that God is giving me so that it takes root in me and bears fruit. I want that. So how can we be the good soil that's needed? How can my heart be prepared to receive the word and make it fruitful? So I think the images used in this passage are really helpful, and they remind me of living on the farm and what my dad did in order to prepare for the crops, to prepare for an abundant harvest. Many of you are farmers. This is what you do too. So one of the images that we have in this story is the seed falling among the rocks, and it doesn't grow well there. So one of the things a farmer has to do is to pick rock. This was one of my least favorite jobs growing up on the farm. It's amazing how we couldn't pick rock on the days that were in the low 70s with a nice breeze, but instead it was always 90 degrees with no wind. That's the day that we always picked rock on. And isn't it amazing that you can farm the same land for decades and the rocks just keep coming? You get them off one year, and then the next year, somehow, they're back. And every year you have to keep on picking off the rocks from the land. So I think this is actually a really helpful image for us. If we want to be good ground where the seed can take root and grow, just like a farmer has to get the rocks off of his land, and he has to do that continually in order to reap a harvest, what do the rocks symbolize? Well, they symbolize our sins. Our sins make our souls heavy, and especially our serious sins really impede us to be able to grow in our spiritual life and to bear fruit. So we have to see our sins. This was primarily my dad's job. And then us kids would be riding on on the carrier on the back. So my dad would be on the tractor and he would point to the rocks, and then we'd have to run and get them. So we have to see our sins, and when we see them, we have to do something about it. At least we have to repent of them. Now, if our sins are venial sins, it's good for us to acknowledge, just simply to make a little prayer out of it. Lord, I'm so sorry that I did that. Please help me not to do that again. Please give me a new start. I have to make that prayer dozens of times a day, all the time, as I recognize that I've done something wrong and need to repent of that. If we have serious sins or mortal sins, we have a remedy for that as well, going to confession. And we have to keep going back, just like a farmer has to keep picking the rocks off his field. We have to keep repenting. We have to keep going to confession. So that's one image that we get from the story, image of the rocks. Another image, the thorns and the weeds. So farmers have these two in their fields. How do they prevent them? Well, my dad has to spray. And so we're going to experience thorns and weeds too. What do thorns and weeds do? Well, they choke out the seed, the seedlings, so that they hog all of the sunlight and the nourishment that they need from the soil. Usually thorns grow a lot better than the crops do. So that's why we have to take care of those weeds. Very similarly, in our spiritual life, we have lots of things in our life that can crowd out God and God's voice in our life. And they're not bad things necessarily. So just for instance, the other day I was praying and I was just having such a hard time focusing on Jesus, even though I was right in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I just kept going back to these thoughts, and then I realized, what was I thinking about? Well, I was thinking about the TV show that I'm watching right now. So then I've just been reflecting on that. That's not very helpful when I go to pray and all I can think about is like what's happening on this television program. It's not an objectively bad program. It's just interesting to me, and I find myself thinking about it. Lots of things in our life can end up being kind of invading on the space that God has in our life. I was having lunch the other day with a guy in his 20s who's trying to grow in a spiritual life. He was saying to me, Father, I always want to spend time in prayer right before I go to bed, but what I always do before that is I check my social media feeds, and then I scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll, and then it's way later than I intended to stay up, and I'm tired, so I just go to bed. It's a really good example of the thorns encroaching upon God's word. For some reason, the weakness, it's the weakness of our human nature and our concupiscence, which is an effect of original sin, that makes other things more interesting to us than God. So just like the weeds seem to grow better in our gardens and in our fields than the crops do, so it's a lot easier for us to focus on these other things than upon God. We have to be attentive to that. And maybe there are certain things in our life, not bad things, but just certain things that encroach upon our relationship in such a way, we just have to let them go, or at least moderate them, so that we can give the seedling of God's word a chance to take root and grow in our heart. So we have rocks, thorns. What's the last image? What's the path? And what's a path? Why doesn't the seed grow on the path? Well, it's packed, it's hard packed down earth. So you throw a seed in it, and how's the seed gonna grow? Only if it gets in the dirt, but the hardness of that path doesn't allow it in. And our hearts can be hard like that, such that God is scattering his grace upon us, but it doesn't penetrate because there's a hardness there. So what do farmers have to do in order to break up the ground, they have to plow. And a lot of times you do this twice a year, right after harvest, but then you have to do it again right before you plant. So the earth is broken up. Farmers have to do that every year. We have to do that continually. Break up the hardness of our heart. What is the hardness of our heart? Well, it's rooted in our pride. And what is our pride like to say? That we should be able to fix ourselves. We should be able to do it ourselves, to make it. We shouldn't need God. We shouldn't ask for help. Sometimes the hardness of our heart is the result of hurts and wounds that we've experienced in the past. So we have a hardened heart towards God because of something that we've suffered, or others because of something that we've suffered. So what needs to happen is that hardness needs to be plowed in and broken up. And what does that? Humility. Only humility does that. So how can we practice humility in such a way that it will soften our hearts, making them good soil so that the seeds can penetrate? Well, it's our admitting our need for God, asking for God's help, asking for the help of others, letting go of past hurts and wounds, allowing God's grace into those places to heal, starting to forgive. Also accepting the suffering and struggle in my life as part of God's good plan for my life. Accepting my struggles, accepting my weakness, accepting the suffering. This is the kind of plowing in humility that our hearts need in order for the word to penetrate. So God is so generous with us, foolishly generous. God is showering grace upon us. I mean, even just to be here at this Mass today, what a huge grace. Maybe it was kind of a fight to get here. Huge, huge grace. There's so much that God wants to give us here. But that word can't take root if there are big sins going on in our life that we haven't repented of, that we aren't struggling against. If there's a ton of distractions, things that encroach upon God's ability to have the relationship with us that he wants, if our hearts are hardened because of pride, trying to fix ourselves, trying to do it ourselves, not asking God's help, not admitting our need for him. So today at this Mass, let's ask our good God to plow our hearts, so that we can be the good soil that we need, soil that's free of the rocks of sin, free of the thorns and the weeds, so that God's love can enter our heart and bear fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold.